Hey guys, just calling to say sorry I couldn't make it on the show this Wednesday. I ended up taking a vacation, kind of last minute. I'm down in good old Mexico, just smoking some rock, drinking some cocktails on the beach, and man, there are a lot of fucking fucking around here, and I'm just having such a hard time not saying anything about these fucking pieces of shit. And I can't fucking wait to get back home and see you. But in the meantime, I'm just going to be hitting this pipe on the beach. And I can't tell you how much I fucking can't stand all these goddamn redacted. So, well, maybe next Wednesday I'll be back.
Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth.
That's good. So let's continue to flex. Well, let's flex in a second. First of all, Jared, how are you? And second of all, thank you for bringing back my favorite podcast.
Hey.
So yes. How are you doing?
It's the least we could do, you know, 6 months off and we thought maybe this is it. It's over. But yeah, we came back with a vengeance. We've put out two episodes now in 2021. I'm pretty proud of that. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
Yeah, you guys the guys who got me to listen to a podcast about the Canadian Football League, and that's when I realized
I'm sorry.
Is my favorite show, because there's no way that I would care about this if it wasn't for the fact that this is a good show. So I'm really glad. People don't know this. Both TLE and Friends Against Government stole an idea from you, which is I first heard on your show, and I never properly credited you for it, so I'm doing that now. The fade in,
that was all baby.
Peaceful Treason. Yeah, the fade in.
I love the fade in. So I've got it to where, you know, we kind of the music fades out and we fade in, and it's just like, you know, it's like you were there all along.
That's right. That was so. I heard that and I was like, that's genius. Everybody does, because Carr and I experimented. And our first few episodes, we experimented with let's intro it, and very quickly we're like, this is weird, because we're having great conversations before we start, and then Carr, we stop and Carr goes, hey everybody, welcome to the Friends Against Government, and we were just like, there's no way, it just doesn't feel good.
There's certain things in podcasting that's like it's just awkward and you never really get over it. But that's one of them, the intro. You never really know how to do it. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to start talking like we always do. And then I'll find a good spot to just, you know, drop on people, basically. So, yeah, that's the way to go. I have the other awkward thing that I've started is like, well, because I changed my online moniker, right? My name. So thanks for doxing me early on. You can bleep that out. No.
Oh, right. I can put moose noises over your name.
I'm just kidding.
Or we can put moose noises before and after the name, so it still doxes.
Oh, man.
That would be big.
That would be a big move.
Yeah.
But I started, like, you know, introducing us at the very beginning, and it's just so awkward because people, you know, people tune in all the time, and they're like, they don't know who's who when they're listening. So try to do that, but that's where the professionalism stops, of course. So,
yeah,
I can't. I'm thinking about how that would sound. Like,
Jared.
That is so good.
I should put the applause both times to raucous applause.
And then maybe do like an echo on the name Jared, like Jared.
Yeah. Oh, Jared, you're screwed.
This is not going to go well for you.
Jared from bum 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 bum, and I give out your whole address and everything. Go get him, guys. God,
man.
I'm glad that I have and the Spears. Okay, so we found out that our co-host is taking PTO, more personal time off, as he's allowed in his contract that I'm pretty sure he put together. And so Carr and I, scrambling to get guests together for an episode because this is a guest-filled podcast.
How far down the list did you have to go?
You were immediate. This is
one.
You were
number one.
Immediate. You were number one. And the reason why I'm telling this is because I said, Carr, we have to do an episode. He said, yes, we do. What are we going to do it on? I said, there's only one topic that I think we need to talk about today, and it's white boy summer. And we were promised a white boy summer.
Okay.
And so you came to mind immediately because you and Carr and Will, all you guys camp all the time, and you're all Childeberg goers. And so if anybody knows how to have a good white boy summer, it's got to be you guys. Me,
oh, for sure.
I've had a miserable summer. Last summer, it was a miserable summer. This summer, I was promised a white boy summer. So we got to get into that. We'll explain what it is. Maybe we can talk about our visions of what white boy summer should look like. I think we've had a few in our times.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, Carr can attest to this. He witnessed me being I almost just referred to myself in the third person there. That's not like
you dox yourself. We had another couple moose noises.
Now that's where the moose goes. Yeah. Carr knows that Jared has a.
he saw me in my true element. You know, I had a few brewskis around a campfire, of course, and it broke out into white boy dance this last last camping trip. Yeah, it was bad. There's video evidence of it.
It was Halloween.
And, no way.
Yeah, that was Halloween. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty tank too. Yeah.
I might have done the towel dance with an old American flag.
Oh my God! Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it's a little shameful, but that video was actually deleted because you know a certain someone didn't want that to get out into the public, into the ether.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. No, that was a good white boy fall camping trip. I would say right there.
Hold on. What did the sun ducker solstice has to come after white boy summer? We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to fall later on.
Okay, keep us on track. WBS.
Hey, guys. Look, I just wanted to tap in really quick. I just got this feeling, man, that this summer is it's about to be a white boy summer. You know, take it how you want. I'm not talking about, like, Trump, NASCAR-type white. I'm talking about, me, John B, Jack Harlow type white boy summer. You know what I mean? Let me know if you guys can vibe with that and get ready, you know, because I am.
That he got a feeling that this summer is going to be a white boy summer. And he goes, you know, however you want it. Like, he's very sure that this is going to be a white boy
this
summer.
This one's going to be the
he
one.
He doesn't say what it looks like, what it entails, but he promises it to us.
And those are the...
It has nothing to do with Trump or NASCAR,
no.
He says, by the way. That's another thing you got to remember is that the white boy summer does not involve Trump or NASCAR.
Right, very important. I love that the best promises are the open-ended ones and just leaving it entirely open to whatever your interpretation of white boy summer is really ideal. And it leaves a lot of room in the creative palette to work with.
I agree. So since we are actually approaching it, we are approaching the promised white boy summer. And by the way, he expands more on what white boy summer means a little later. We'll get to that about maybe some other groups whose summers it might be. we'll talk about that later. But first of all, are you guys familiar with Chet Hayes, his rap name? Chet Hayes.
No.
You guys know this guy?
No.
No, I didn't even know. This guy's a famous guy?
You might want to get to know him. Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks.
I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks, is let's call him a professional rapper, a bad boy, a beach dude, you know? a real meathead, like a guy that you know you could have a radical time with. Mm-hmm. Really interesting guy. He got into a little controversy I think maybe a year and a half ago, because he used the N-word multiple times in a hip-hop song. Wow. And then, instead of apologizing for it as the crowds wanted him to do, Chet Hanks, a true American hero, said, "I'm only using it because it's a way to unify all the various races of hip-hop." That's what he said. And it's, listen, the guy's an optimist, and he cares about changing things, as you can tell. And he loves everybody, as you can tell. And he's promised us a white boy summer, which is actually, here's the first question. Would you prefer your $2,000 or a white boy summer? It's obvious to me.
Oh, no brainer.
Yeah. No brainer.
It's a white boy summer.
It's a white boy summer.
White boy summer, clearly. I had no idea how deep this went. Now I'm realizing as I'm Googling and you're talking about it, I had no idea.
Oh, it goes even deeper.
Oh, my God.
So I'll play this video now. Okay. It's the second video, confirming what exactly it means. So basically, Chet Hanks says,
"You know, they've been asking me, Chet, if it's going to be a white boy summer, does that make it a black queen summer for you?" And I said, "Do you know me? Because if you did, you know that's all year round." Respectfully.
And I've never heard a more relatable statement, frankly. But he's really trying to bring all of the groups together, and this guy is being hated, much like Martin Luther King, much like many figures, Gandhi, who tried to bring people together, you know, for peace, prosperity, and various racially designated summers. Mm-hmm. He's doing it. He's here, bringing this to us. Better than our handless president. Much better.
I say from now on, we stop referring to Gandhi, you know, as some sort of great spiritual leader and just refer to Chet instead.
Chet.
Yes, I agree. I was actually thinking about Gandhi. I was like, man, he had a lot of problems. Chet has way fewer problems than Gandhi. And Gandhi used the N-word way more
than
Chet
probably
does.
True,
so frankly,
yeah.
he's Chet Hayes, like Purple Hayes, Chet Hayes is going to lead us to a truly great white boy summer.
Chet
is
Hot Chet
I was a little
Hayes?
Concerned.
Or Chet Hot Miss Gandhi?
So his name is Chet Hanks. Chet. Low effort.
I love
Chet
it.
Hayes is his rap moniker.
Okay.
Because he, I guess, smokes the Purple Haze a lot. And Chet Hanks is his real name,
marijuana,
which was given to him by Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, the father. The guy, the known star in the movie Forrest Gump.
Sleepless in
Seattle.
And
that movie where he gets lost on that island and talks to a basketball for a few hours.
I thought he was known as the first celebrity to ever get coronavirus.
Yeah, you remember that?
Was he the first?
Oh, yeah, dude. Do you remember that?
Didn't?
Yeah, it was wild.
Didn't Chet say it was fake? I thought Chet said it was fake.
Well, we'd have to check.
Of course he did. He's the new Gandhi.
He's
based as...
Dude, that would be so sweet.
Based as fuck.
It's if he changed his rap name to Chet Hot Miss Gandhi, that would be amazing. Dude, he could really bring people together. I'm pretty convinced of this. He has an Illuminati tattoo on his chest, which is pretty wild.
Yes, he does.
Wow.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He did. He is not a COVID denier. He did say, listen to this. They're both fine. They're not even that sick. They're not worried about it. They're not tripping, but they're going through the necessary health precautions, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's anything to be too worried about. Stay safe out there. Much love.
Cool. Good for him.
Very cool. A very good message, I think.
All,
really great.
All over positive, I would say.
100% positive.
I'm trying to figure
out. He supports the sisters. He wants us to all have a great summer. What's wrong with this guy? Can't be anything, as far as I know. We'll find out, I guess.
I'm trying to figure out what was his context for using the N-word?
He was in a hip hop song that he was making, and he uses the N-word. And maybe I'll play a little bit of it for the listeners.
soft.
I don't know if we'll get
soft
if we'll
A
get,
presumably.
Not, I'm assuming he didn't hard R it because I don't know. That seems like a contradiction to try and bring people together with a hard R.
With a hard R, yeah. The hard R is not a unifying feature of that.
No,
of that
it's
vernacular.
Not.
No.
I would say it's probably not. So
also,
it's probably
imagine,
soft A's.
Can you imagine dropping a hard R in a rap
song,
like, repetitively? Like, that would be pretty wild.
Yeah, as
a casual word.
Yeah, it would be very notable to do that, I think.
Be disruptive.
And it probably would not bring people together. Who knows? I'm not sure. No, yeah, trigger. I mean, you can't, there's no positive connotations of words you can attach to that word anyway. No. So maybe it was probably like, I don't know. Well, anyway.
Yeah, well.
So in the song, he uses the word several times, and he was excoriated for it by the mainstream media, the haters.
The haters,
if you will. And he comes out of it at the other end, and yeah, he's basically like, look, I did this to bring everybody together. You know, I didn't do this to hurt anyone. That, you know, that word is used in the hip-hop community, and we bring people together with it. I don't know. It was a very mystical statement, as are many of his statements, are very mystical. He's a mystical guy.
He is. He's a...
You have to absorb that.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, you
did. I was waiting for it all to upload.
I'm actually levitating right now, just talking about this guy.
Yeah, he's really a lot of positive energy.
Chet, so Mon.
We're
come on the show, Chet.
Yeah, dude, that would be incredible.
Please.
I
got less good news.
Okay,
if you want
about.
Unlike Chet trying to bring people together.
Oh no.
Joe Biden is literally trying to institute a form of state apartheid under vaccine passports.
Oh boy.
Which is in the move. Chet is not happy. I'm not happy. Yeah. The sisters aren't happy. Nobody's happy about this.
Nothing.
As a white boy, I can say I am definitely not happy about this.
Nothing would ruin
white boy
summer.
This will not be a good part of summer.
Then, this is going to ruin white boy summer, and that's probably the most upsetting detail.
100%. Yeah, it's going to ruin white boy summer. So as far as I understand it, let's get the arguments out of the way. The statement goes, vaccine passports. The arguments go, we already have things like that. If you want to get into school, you need to take a vaccination. Other countries already restrict people sometimes based on, these are all the arguments to get out of the way. Of course, conveniently sidestepping the idea that this is creating a new system and database that, you know, just like with whatever the NSA does every time it opens up a new server in the back of a Dunkin' Donuts or that place that those people, that guy blew up in that suicide attempt. It might have been a Verizon building. Anyway, every time they open up a new fucking server room, it does way more than they say it's going to do. Mm-hmm. So a little common sense can tell anybody, maybe you shouldn't be so happy that these things already exist, because you know, whatever this is, if the thing already existed, why would they need to make a new one?
Right.
It's for new shit,
it's
guys.
For new shit.
It's for new shit. So that's the first problem, and it moves us, pushes us closer towards our biotechnic hell, where the government knows exactly where we are and what our sugar content level in our blood is, and that's where we're at. Hopefully this won't be instituted until September, is what I'm hoping.
September 21st.
So we can have our summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. 22nd. Give me right the line. Yeah. I need a little more.
Just one more day of summer, the last day of summer, of white boy summer.
Yeah, the day when the sun, the moon of the sun duck or solstice is at its peak, then we will hit vaccine passport time.
Yeah, the frequinox.
So that's where we're at.
I wish I could say that I was ready to talk about this. I do have a lot to. I have a lot of feelings about it.
Please, I want your feelings. This is not a show about facts.
Okay,
I want your feelings. Well, then, I want them in the form of four stanzas, and I want a little bit of a
please, or one haiku. Can you give us a 575?
Or one haiku.
Let me go grab my guitar real quick and tell you my feelings on COVID passports.
Okay,
yeah.
Man, imagine if Jared just took over the show by playing music for the remainder of the episode.
Just will not put down the guitar.
That is a white boy summer move.
Dude, that,
when you grab your acoustic and you occupy everybody's time for 40 minutes.
All right, just listen to
this. Very white boy summer.
I got some Oasis coming up. Come on, listen. Sit down.
No, but I could crush.
Is that your girlfriend?
You know what I sing at karaoke, I sing Incubus. I could crush some Incubus. And probably Oasis, too. Oh, yeah. Right in my register.
What's your go-to Incubus song?
Usually, if I'm getting warmed up, I'll do Drive first. Yeah.
Drive is the one.
But then if I'm getting real warm, I will do Warning. And if you read the lyrics to that, by the way, I think that song is a... it's prophetic. It's a prophecy of COVID-19. You should go
really
look
what
at
is
the lyrics.
What is being said in it? Okay,
she all called right. out a warning. Fine. Warning. but it's it. I don't know why I brought that up, but let me. Okay,
you
so in, let
it
me
invokes it in you.
It does. It really does. Let me. Oh man. Okay, set facts aside while you're looking up the lyrics. The first okay. The first chorus not or verse not so much, but the rest of the song nails it. Unless I'm not getting the metaphor, but I think it's prophetic.
Hell yeah!
So
I'm
my
looking
feelings.
At it, I can see some prophecy. Uh-huh, yeah, your feelings uh-huh. on vaccine passport, everything. Your feelings on everything.
Well, I'll start with a prediction. If this COVID passport thing manifests the way that I think a lot of people on the left want it to, it will result in civil war. That's where we're headed with this. It's
what
that
does that look
serious.
Like to you?
Violent. It will be you know, for a long time I didn't think that there would be a violent civil war again in the United States. But this is some next level totalitarian shit. It's bad. And people, you know, it's anecdotally, you know, speaking, but on my Twitter timeline and, you know, kind of some grumblings that I've heard elsewhere, people are really fed up with this. And this will be one thing that just kind of pushes people over the edge. It won't take much, but it's a powder keg, man. It's not good. So I don't know what the feelings are elsewhere. I think it'll start somewhere and it'll just kind of probably catch fire. It'll get really ugly really fast. I listened to Dave's episode, Part of the Problem, right before as I was out running errands. And I think he nailed it. I mean, he basically, you know, took a really strong stand against it and said, you know, we need to fight this any way that we possibly can. And I agree with that. I think we need to fight it with all of our might. And that way, hopefully, it never comes to something violent, because I really think that this is a bad, bad thing. So sorry to bring the vibe down, but that's where I'm feeling. You asked for it.
It's kind of what I'm feeling too. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, we're still going to laugh at it. I don't know what else we could possibly do, because it's going to happen whether or not any of the three of us or any of the few thousand people listening have any opinion on it. It's going to happen. So,
well, you know, and
I
can
agree with you.
I can give the whole mask thing a pass. I kind of have mixed feelings on it. The science doesn't seem to be really clear in terms of how effective it is. But I think for the most part, people want to feel like they're doing something, you know, whether it be governments or individuals. People want to feel like, okay, we have this problem. We're not really sure how to fix it. You want to feel like you're making some kind of effort to do something about it. So the masks, I can kind of forgive, right? But when you talk about restricting people's ability to access basic goods and services because they haven't injected themselves with an experimental gene therapy drug, we're gonna have a serious problem, you know. So it's a bad deal.
It's
a bad deal. That's
masks,
how that summarizes it.
It has been a bad deal since for about a year and a half now. It's interesting that the masks were used at the very beginning, and I never had a problem with them at the very beginning. And then slowly, I mean, once I found out that, as far as I understand it scientifically, they're not effective. If it's a surgical mask, the disease is much smaller. So I moved away from giving a shit about that quite a while ago. But it's interesting how that necessitated the creation of these two groups of people. And those two groups are the maskers and the unmaskers. Mm-hmm. And the maskers hate the unmaskers, and the unmaskers hate the maskers for their own reasons. Now we have vaccine passport, and it's almost like a stake and a mallet in a doorway, and just slowly smashing it into the doorway until the door is forcibly opened. This might be the door opener. I don't know. But actions keep being taken to sort people into certain categories. And you can start that process, but at some point, if you start referring to a really arbitrarily selected group of people based on one single factor, whether or not they wear a mask, which is insane to sort people in such a way when we know how different people are. If it's just I wear a mask and I don't, I mean, you really dehumanize people if it's that easy. If you can go, they don't wear this object. And yeah. because they don't, they kill all my family members and they're like a roach and no other country wants them and they shouldn't be allowed to be in public. And this is the things that the pro-mask side says about the anti-mask side. The anti-mask side has a comparatively less forceful argument of you're all sheep. You know, doesn't yeah. lead to legislation against the pro-maskers, which is really interesting. Now the vaccine comes and then the vaccine passports come. And then I wanted to talk about your guys' thoughts on Ron DeSantis and his whole statement that if they try and do that, he is officially taking a stand against it, against the federal government, if they try and do vaccine passports. Ron DeSantis appears to be relatively based. What do you guys think? Carr, have you seen any of this stuff?
Yeah, I have. It's a super interesting question. But, you know, and basically it pits the old chestnut of public versus private and that thing, at least for the libertarian camp. But I wanted to back up just a little bit and talk a little bit more about the mask versus anti-mask. And I think one interesting aspect of that, and maybe to Jared's point, although I'm still not sold on a violent outcome necessarily, although I absolutely could be wrong. I kind of don't think we're there yet, is that it's very geographically based. And bridging the gap into Florida, talking about Texas, talking about just kind of the South and the Midwest, like there are no real maskers here in Fort Worth. There are people that will wear masks, but they're not like I don't wear a mask. I really haven't through the whole thing unless somebody asked me to, like a business owner. And I have never been approached by someone telling me to wear a mask.
You know what's funny? You know what city I'm in? Yeah. I've never been approached either.
Yeah.
As funny as that sounds, I think it's really odd.
I kind of think that there is this might be one of those, as bleak as it seems, and as much as I hate the masks. I've never been on board with the masks. I absolutely just hate them, like on a visceral human level. I don't even rationalize why necessarily. Just, I think it's just dehumanizing. I like seeing people's faces, you know?
Sure. Well, you were proven right with the fact that all the anti-maskers are being called cockroaches who shouldn't be allowed into foreign countries now.
Well, right.
As I could pull up hundreds of tweets that I saw the other day trying to stay off of Twitter, but doing what I have to do to upload stuff for a different account. Mm-hmm. I had to see this, and I got dragged into a typhoon of hatred and really fascistic terminology like cockroach and infested.
It's crazy.
You're right. It's dehumanized. It serves as a sign towards dehumanization.
I tell you what, man,
in a way, which
we talk about fascist languages and stuff like that all the time, and we've been right the whole time. I mean, it 5 years ago, the issues being separate, it was still fascistic language. This is the most insane shit I've ever seen in my life. Like people who are avowed anti-fascist, quote unquote, or who would recoil at the thought of being called a fascist are out here literally talking about having to have papers to move and talking about people in such dehumanizing ways. It's mind blowing.
That's one thing that I cannot, my brain is like not grasping, is you have people here who are making accusations about, you know, at supposed fascists, and then they're literally behaving exactly like fascists. Yeah, right. And it's like, how do you even, I don't even know how to rationalize with these people. I don't know how to even have a conversation because I don't think we're even existing in the same universe.
I think that's kind of the conclusion I've come to. And maybe to circle back to the geographic separation, the Civil War talk, and the actions of Florida, I think I think a lot of people are realizing that you don't have the conversation. It's just too much. And there are, I think that there's a possibility. And I was talking about this back. Actually, I was talking about it with Eric LaPrice on his show like a year ago when this was first getting going. And then I talked about it a few other times where this mostly financial stress that this whole thing has created is going to, and other stress, not to diminish other stress, but a lot of it is just fiscal, is going to create a lot of tension, both upwards and downwards throughout the government, the governmental system, you know, federal, state, local, et cetera, and geographically across, you know, between states. And I think that you're seeing that play out. And I would not be shocked to see what maybe in 50 years we'll look back on and call something like a Cold War between.
All right. Well,
you know, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I hope that it remains a Cold War. That would be the absolute best case scenario. And the even better scenario would be that if it was a short-lived Cold War. But let me qualify a couple of things. Number one, I think that if we are to avoid that civil war, I hate to depend on this, but it's gonna require more Rick DeSantis stepping up and doing what he did.
100%.
I have a lot of respect for him having the balls to do that. But here's the thing. He's making a presidential run for 2024. Mm-hmm. So he had to position himself that way because he knows, and the RNC knows their base. So on one hand, it's like, that's great that you did that you said that, but I'm disappointed that here we are, what, 12, I don't know when he said it, but it was in the last 24 hours. And no other governors have come forward and supported that and said, we're going to take a stand just like him.
Absolutely.
He's doing it to make it to in preparation for his presidential run, because he's going to be the front runner. And it's disappointing to not see other governors and other state politicians stepping up and saying, that's right. We are going to fight this with everything. It's got to happen.
100% agree with you. I cannot. I have always been so disappointed with, and I granted all of these politicians are disappointing for a litany of reasons, but I've always been disappointed with Abbott, our governor in Texas, because he has the people's support by and large for taking the lead like DeSantis, and DeSantis has received nothing but praise like from his own base and his own state, and even he's been taking some pretty radical positions, even for his own base, and basically bringing them along and radicalizing them under him. That's like really, really bold. And it's probably going to prove to go really well for him. And I mean, when you talk about, what's that?
You think he's like a closet libertarian?
I don't know. I don't think so. But on the other hand, sometimes the way that he talks makes me wonder if he, the Republican, some of the distasteful things that we like about that we don't like about Republicans are a little bit of a shtick from him. So that's like a little bit of hopeful thinking. But nonetheless, I do sometimes when he's talking, I'm like, I don't know if he's necessarily lockstep with like the, you know, saluting police and military and stuff like that. Sometimes he does say that stuff. I mean, obviously he's throwing red meat, but I do wonder where his feelings lie. Certainly, I would hope they lie closer to us than to the Republican Party. But I would like to point out real quick before we move on, or before any other points are brought up, the populations of Texas and Florida, particularly combined, you know, you're looking at 50 million people there. That's a lot. That is a lot. Yeah. And if Texas and Florida, and if you're talking about some sort of, and Cold War is probably a dramatic word for it now. And again, maybe it's like something that we look back on. That's,
to be fair, that's less dramatic than Civil War.
Well, that's a fair point. but I mean, if you see Texas and Florida kind of hold hands and lead the way a little bit, Abbott needs to stop being a pussy. But if they hold hands and lead the way a little bit, and a couple more states, you're not talking about picking up too many more states when you have literally half the entire population, and not only half the population, but probably most of the resources of the country. You know, it's an interesting place to be in, and it's an interesting thing to war game. But I certainly think that you're going to see other governors perking up their ears, just like other governors perked up their ears with when Colorado and Washington legalized marijuana. And then that spread like wildfire in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. I think you're going to see a lot of governors looking for votes and saying, oh, actually, our base doesn't want to be tracked by a fascistic state, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you can count on. I was going to say in this whole conversation is at least you know Ron DeSantis, whether he believes the words coming out of his mouth or not, he believes that there's a large enough contingent of electors who believe that they who want to hear that, which is comforting.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Although it's not so comforting knowing it's happening in Florida, because you look at Florida and most people in Florida are on Ron's side and also don't like most of the mandates that the federal government has been putting out about coronavirus. Mm-hmm. If you could start to see that, and as you guys have been saying this whole time, if you could start to see little inklings on the maybe even the local level of people who get elected who don't support mask mandates, maybe it's a sign. It has to be, because with the behavior as follows, it only seems like the behavior that's happening, the vaccine passport being the latest, can only work to shake people off of all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine antis and fence sitters are going to go along with it consensually. You know what I mean? Like, how could a vaccine passport, somebody who wasn't in favor of masks, look at a vaccine passport and go, now that's what I'm in favor of? You know what I mean? It doesn't 100%. Make sense. And so all it only need... seems like at this point we're heading back towards equilibrium.
Right. And all they
almost has to be.
They need is, and all they've ever needed this entire time, I think I've said this before, is some kind of catalyzing agent. And to some degree, Ron DeSantis is that. It's being able to look around and not feel like you're going to be, because there's a lot of people that don't want to stick their neck out, and that's fine. But like looking around and saying, oh, I'm not going to be crucified immediately for disagreeing or for participating in what, you know, the news says is wrong think. And if you get a couple of these states, you know, a year is a long time, as we know. Think about going back to March 30th of 2020. It could, the landscape could change quite a bit. And remember too that as early as probably April or May last year, there was secession talk. There was talk of states grouping off and seceding because of a lot of this stuff and because of the fiscal.
I don't think that's going away.
I don't think so either.
Hopefully not.
I think hopefully not. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be amazing. Can you
by any logic
Texas
at all?
Texas and Florida secede together. That'd be amazing.
Dude,
like,
that'd be very
Texit.
Nice.
Yeah, Texit, man.
And then one other thing, I just wanted to say, like I mentioned that this is a powder keg, but I didn't mention all the ingredients. One of the ingredients in all that is the economic problems that are on the horizon.
Oh yeah,
and the U.S. dollar is it's on a course, man. It's been on a course for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And these, you know, $1 trillion, $1.9 trillion, $3 trillion, whatever they want to call it, relief packages are only, I mean, it's only making it worse. And if that coincides, like, right, if those two things collide at once, where the U.S. dollar starts to really inflate and we're on the brink of hyperinflation and this COVID vaccine passport thing starts to roll up at the same time, I do not see any way that stays a Cold War. People will be hungry. They won't be able to go to the grocery store because they haven't got their vaccines. When you get people into desperation mode, that is a very, very serious problem. And so, you know, that's, I think that's kind of why I see this fight against the COVID passport as being really serious.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't disagree with a single thing that you said. But the one thing that has me thinking that maybe it won't turn super violent is the lack of resource. If there is a secession movement by a group of states, that will have perceived legitimacy to a lot of the population.
I hadn't considered that, but I think you might be onto something there. It just gives people like a confidence,
yes,
right?
Confidence and perceived legitimacy, and it's going to take resources away from the federal government. It's going to take political clout away from the federal government. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I'm not saying it won't happen, because God knows. I mean, they're horrible, you know, criminals. But if, let's just say, I'm looking at a map, like the southern United States, like Texas, like basically New Mexico, follow that line across and south, you know, New Mexico to North Carolina and south. If they all kind of form a loose confederation and say, we're no longer a part of this, I know that may sound like wishful thinking, but I think that at some point, like you said, Jared, just monetarily, I think that people are going to have no choice. So thinking about pushing them towards that, what does an attack by what we now know as the United States federal government look like? It starts to get a little weird. I don't know exactly how they would go about it. I mean, certainly I could go try and start obliterating people, but I mean, like, we're so spread out. Like, it's not like things were in 1860 or 1865 where you had your local community and your family and you were from there or whatever. People are moving. I've lived in like 5 different states. I have family and friends all over the place. Like, people are
Here's one.
Go ahead.
Here's one thing about that, though, is these geographic lines don't follow along state boundaries. They follow along municipal boundaries. And your large metro areas. I see this. So I see this in my city. I live in the Ozarks, right? And I live in a fairly large city. And when I'm on the outskirts of town, I can go into places. I get no hassle for masks whatsoever.
Right.
I was just at a park on Sunday. It was a gorgeous day, and there were probably well over, it was in the thousands of people out there. And I saw 2 masks the whole day. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. But then when I go into the downtown area, everyone's wearing a mask inside and out. I get chastised, not let into places at all. And so the way I see this unfolding is actually more on the city level than on like a state or even federal level. That's where it's going to start, is you're going to have people colliding in the city areas. And that's where the conflicts are really going to start, because those are the tumultuous lines, not the state boundaries.
Well, yeah. And then you've also got like city to city. Fort Worth is anti-mask. Dallas is mask, you know, and so that's like a weird thing. But I don't think that I don't think they have I don't know if they have the resource. Like, what is Dallas going to do? Like, send their cops over here? You know,
That's what I'm saying. That's not how it's going to. I don't think that's how it's going to start. It'll be like a, you know, if you ever seen V for Vendetta, it's the domino, man. Yeah. Once that first domino falls, then people start, you know, picking camps and, you know, starting to align. And I just don't see a way that first domino doesn't fall if we go to COVID passports. It's an incredibly dangerous situation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, man, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I wonder.
Darkness.
I do wonder, man, that that is going to be so, when it comes down to the ballot box, if it even matters, because I don't even think it matters anymore. Like, I think it's pretty much all fraudulent, not just because of Trump, the election, but all of it. But, like, that's got to be so unpopular by the numbers. Like, so unpopular. There's probably a lot of go-along to get-along people, but, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is 80% of them, I'm almost sure, as it isn't almost always the case.
Yeah.
I will give you, well, okay, so the White House, obviously it's not just us talking about the vaccine passports. The White House has done quite a lot of talking about it. First of all, here's what the CDC says fully vaccinated people can do. This will give you an indication, and I think it's a sign of something positive, perhaps, not negative, assuming that the Democratic regime takes the CDC seriously. Listen to this. Fully vaccinated people, and that could be Johnson & Johnson's non-mRNA or mRNA or any of the mRNA ones. Fully vaccinated.
Well, hang on. But even that needs to be disambiguated. Disambiguated.
It doesn't say that in here. You're right. I am just assuming.
But how many shots do you need? Right. You know, what is fully vaccinated? Yeah. That's ambiguous at this point. Even that. Do you need 3, 4, 5 shots? How many do you need?
The details of this are so, so insane. And then just go.
There's a description. Have you been fully vaccinated? These are the people who are considered fully vaccinated. This is the CDC's website. 2 weeks after their second dose in a 2-dose series of Pfizer, Moderna, or other mRNAs, or 2 weeks after a single dose of Johnson & Johnson's Janssen vaccine. What an odd. So they have when they say fully vaccinated, Johnson & Johnson's Janssen.
Janssen vaccine. That?
Jesus, what a stupid. If it has been less than 2 weeks since your first dose, you need to get your second dose or you are not considered fully protected. So this is good and bad, is that they've defined it. But in order for the definition to have any meaning, there has to be provability of the definition. So this is more paperwork you need to carry around, or so on and so forth.
Can I just say a slight rabbit trail? JJJ kind of looks like 666.
Hey-o.
I'm just going to put it out there. Okay. I'm just going to put that out there.
I hate the Antichrist. Okay. Everybody here on this podcast hates the Antichrist.
I mean, this is a, yeah, exactly. So do I.
We all hate the Antichrist here on, and all of our listeners.
You can put
too.
Me in that.
That's
camp.
All I'm going to say. That's
Anti-Antichrist.
Anti-Antichrist. In fact, anybody who's pro-Antichrist, you should look at with at least a small amount of suspicion. Let's be honest. Fully vaccinated people, that is based on the description that I just gave you. Both of these are from the CDC. Fully, listen to this. Fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without masks or social distancing. Fully vaccinated people can visit with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk for COVID-19 indoors without wearing a mask. And third, skip quarantine and testing guidelines following a known exposure if they're asymptomatic. So those are the those are actually much looser than you would think. Two of them are undefinables, the low risk for serious COVID. And if they are definable, low risk is everybody under 80. So you now, if one person is vaccinated, they can go and meet with unvaccinated people under the age of 80. You've freed up most of the adult population this way immediately.
Yeah.
So what, you know what I mean? So does that mean without a mask, by the way,
it's
or
also,
social distancing?
It's also absurd, man. It's
so
just absurd.
So well, I'm telling you this because as absurd as it is, we like to laugh at it and we like to find the good in things. Mm-hmm. This
Please
is
God, let's
clearly,
laugh at something.
This is very clearly saying. There's no way everyone's going to get vaccinated.
Right,
at some point, you're all going to have to take your masks off when enough people are... This is herd immunity stuff.
Yeah.
We already know we're heading there. Now, vaccine passport, that can obviously still be put into place whether or not herd immunity is achieved. And of course, the problem isn't proving the vaccine after herd immunity. It's what else are they going to do with this new system they've put together after it becomes evident that that herd immunity has come into play and we won't need vaccine passports anymore.
Well,
do you think they're going to close the program? Because I certainly don't.
Yeah. Right.
No. And one thing I think is unfolding as we speak is I think that it seems fairly obvious to me. Once again, I've set aside facts, right? These are my feelings.
These are all feelings. It's all that matters is feelings.
Feelings. That's what we feel our way through the show.
Feel our way through politics because that's what everyone else is doing.
Yep.
Right.
It's the most accurate way.
It's
yes.
It's difficult for I'm not going to sit here and call this a hoax, but something feels kind of orchestrated, right? There's there's a powerful something that's kind of calling the shots. And I see and just enough pushback on this and not enough crazy numbers that they really need to scare people. The numbers just aren't there. And so what I think might be happening is they're sort of rushing the COVID passport because people are already starting to detach from the fear. People are already starting to, you know, people are already starting to go back
and it's, honestly,
to normal.
Part of that is the fact that the vaccine is making a lot of people feel completely back to normal. Mm-hmm. It's really odd.
Yeah.
But after they get the shot, I know many people who've gotten the shot and they're like, I'm living like it was 2019 again. It's very interesting.
But isn't that kind of messed up? Because you can still get sick and you can still be symptomatic.
Yeah.
It's super weird.
But nonetheless, take it for what it is. You know, it's like it's they feel back to normal.
Human beings' apathy is what will free us from this situation. Is the apathy of the average human being. Once they get their vaccination and they go, oh, I don't have to live like a rat anymore, then they can't. What are they going to do? Anyway. Final journey,
but that proves that it was psychological, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, everybody
this
on this show knows that at
for
least.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully everybody off this show starts to learn that and starts to agree that most of this was psychological manipulation to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe further. Well, okay, maybe let me stop myself because they may be trying to go further. However, let me take you to the final part of the vaccine passport journey. This is from today at 6 a.m. So this is from yesterday at 6 a.m. White House leaves vaccine passports to private sector. So this is written by Catherine. What is this? Watson. So as more countries like Japan, China, Denmark introduce vaccine passports, obviously, you know she is, Americans begin to wonder if they are going to have to get a vaccine or something or another. And there aren't many answers. The Biden administration has made one thing clear. Federal government is not going to be the one who issues the vaccine credential. It's either going to have to be the states or it's going to have to be some sort of private sector database. This now let's go further. Andy Slavitt, there's a name for you, Carr. Andy Slavitt, who is the acting director for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, who works directly under the White House and speaks for the White House. this is going to hit all parts of society, and so naturally, the government is involved. But unlike other parts of the world, the government here is not viewing its own role as creating a passport, nor holding the data of those passports. We view it as something the private sector is doing already and will continue to do. What's important to us is that we're leading an intra-agency process and going through the details and establishing important criteria to meet those credentials. We expect, and this is what Psaki, the White House, what is she called? Whatever. The
spokeswoman
who speaks for the White House. You've seen her. Mm-hmm. We expect, as Andy Slavitt, I think, alluded to, that the determination or development of a vaccine passport or whatever you want to call it will be driven by the private sector. Ours will be more focused on guidelines that can be used as a basis. There are a couple of key principles that we are working from. One is that there will be no centralized universal federal vaccination database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. Second, we want to encourage an open marketplace with a variety of private sector companies and nonprofit coalitions. I think the reason why the White House is having to retract on a federal vaccination credential is because they know they are immediately going to run into a very red Supreme Court. And it's gonna bork any potential for any federal anything in that regard. Because as you know, once it's ruled, they can't touch that area.
Right. That's interesting.
So they think the private sector is going to run this. And guess what? I agree with them. I'm seeing plenty of private companies that are going, oh, yeah, let's get the app up. Oh, that's what we want. They will soon learn that their profit margins are going to be cut severely when a large number of people who just want to live a normal life again decide that they're going to walk into your store anyway, and you're going to let them buy things anyway because that's what's probably going to happen. So there's hopefully some light.
Yeah, I
think
so.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying there's just hopefully some light at the end of the tunnel.
It is. That is a little bit of light. And calling back to Rick DeSantis, in his public announcement, you know, that Florida is going to fight this, he specifically called out the private sector.
Yes.
So I think he's a little bit ahead of the, you know, ahead of the curve on that. Yeah. I think he probably knows what you're saying there, that the Biden administration is going to try to get this through crony capitalism, basically.
Yes. I think DeSantis said very clearly, they want guidelines. We're here to give guidelines to the private companies. And I'm very sure that there's more than enough companies who will accept any guideline given by the federal government on a purely consensual basis. Mm-hmm. Not that the acceptance of any private company that is as big as something like Walmart, should they decide to start doing this, which I don't think they will, knowing where most Walmarts are.
Yeah.
I think that a private company like that could be pressured by the federal government into adopting the guidelines so that their CEOs aren't constantly being called in by Congress to do a evaluation of safety practices OSHA. Are you guys making sure that everything is okay there? Nobody's getting sick? This is something they could do to persuade from the back end. But if you run a private business, the nice thing here is the federal government has stated such as such, we will not be mandating you to force people to get vaccinated before you can accept them into your business.
Right.
That's what we know right now. They could completely lie about that and go behind, but hopefully that's just some light that the vaccine craze and the passport is going to be attached to a nice little app that'll probably come with all your other data from Facebook.
I think
we'll probably manage it.
I think a lot of people are misinterpreting the perceived fever pitch of the federal government shrieking about all of this as threats. And I think that they're actually pleased. I
love that. I so agree.
I think that they sense that they're just running out of steam on this thing. And they flogged that mule for everything it had. But I think that they sense that there is just a significant chunk of this population that's just done. I mean, they just don't have it in them anymore to give a shit. And whether they at one time cared about COVID or whether they never cared about COVID, that population is big and it's growing every day by leaps and bounds, even if it's by means that we think are ridiculous. For example, getting the vaccine, you know, but that population is big and getting bigger. I think that they had to rush this plan for a variety of reasons. I think first and foremost was they had to rush the vaccine in order to align the narrative for a Biden administration, for a Biden election.
Yes.
That pushed them ahead of schedule. They had to to rush. You know, there was always the stimulus stuff. They really hemmed themselves in on a really tight schedule to try to make all of this happen, and I think they kind of blew it, honestly.
Hey, Carr, who do you think is they? Honestly,
yeah, I don't know.
The Antichrist.
Set your facts aside for just a second.
No,
I know we've been talking a lot about.
I'm
facts.
Really glad Aaron's not here.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
let's set those facts aside. The loudest for just a second.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Well, who do you think? Who do you think they are?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Crazy
lefties. Marxists.
No. I mean,
cultural,
like,
Marxists.
No. Who is actually behind the levers of this thing? I just truly have no idea, because it's not Biden. I mean, I have no idea, dude. I mean,
have you considered that the group that is behind this is the collective fear of the most easily scared group of human beings who've ever existed?
Yeah, it's possible.
No, they're just a tool in the toolbox. Honestly, I think they're just a tool.
Oh, okay. You don't think that the fear generators are also the people who are ultimately getting everyone else to, like, I'm scared, so the government has to do what I say, or I'll go out and protest.
It's a feedback loop, right?
Well,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Here's one thing I shared. I thought this was more widespread, and apologies if you guys have brought it up on the show before, but have you heard about anything about the military games in 2019 in China?
With the Taiwan?
South China Sea, you mean? No.
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 So,
no.
So there's a conspiracy theory that
we don't entertain those.
we don't touch those.
Well,
yeah.
Touch those.
Well, okay. then humor me. Just set your facts aside.
Maybe we'll put this on the Patreon. We'll put this on the Patreon.
Yeah,
this is not fit.
We don't
want to
get our we don't. Yeah, we don't want our podcast to get some kind of a bad name as some sort of weirdo conspiracy show.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Okay. Well, let me just read straight from Wikipedia for just a second. And I'm sorry to rabbit trail. How are we doing on time?
Oh, we're doing fine on time.
We're good. We got about 5 minutes. We're great. We're doing great.
Did we talk about? Oh, we're 5 minutes.
Yeah,
oh,
we're
not
good. We're
time
about
for
five.
That.
No,
okay.
5 minutes to an hour. I meant. Sorry.
Okay.
Should have clarified. We don't really end this thing until we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, we take it to the bitter end, my friend.
The 2019 Military World Games, commonly known as Wuhan 2019, was held from October 18th to the 27th in 2019 in Wuhan, China.
What?
And it's a multi-sport event held. Well, it's a multi-sport.
Car goes, what? Like already? Like,
yeah, already.
Where is
this going? I'm already hook, line, and sinker. I've gobbled up the bait.
Yep. This was the 7th Military World Games, and it was the first international military multi-sport event to be held in China, and with nearly 10,000 athletes from over 100 countries competing in 27 sports. So as you can imagine, there's I don't know how more people don't know about this, but the United States had military personnel there in Wuhan when this thing leaked out, right? And the conspiracy theory is basically, I'll read down at the bottom, you know, Wikipedia has this great section called controversies. Never accurate information, but it's fun to read. During the COVID-19 pandemic, conspiracy theories emerged in China, which attributed the virus's creation to the CIA. Some articles on popular Chinese language sites suggested that American athletes participated in the event deployed SARS-CoV-2, the virus responsible for COVID-19. The source of SARS-CoV-2 to be from U.S. Army Bioweapons Research Facility at Fort Dietrich.
Oh my God.
So So yeah, I don't know how more people haven't talked about this, but I am so happy to say it on your show now.
Wow. Well, we know one thing is true. It didn't come from the market. Not enough people trace back to it. There were plenty of people who never had market contact. So it could have come from somewhere else.
Well, they do say that, you know, a lot of these military personnel do have a palate for bats. So you never know. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Bat flesh.
Well, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should stop having a palate for bats, guy. So this is when a bunch of military guys get together and play volleyball, is apparently what the military world games is. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know the motto of the military world games?
Oh, have you already looked this up? Yes, I do.
Military glory, world peace.
Oh,
holy
Christ
shit.
Christ almighty.
No way. This is Oof. Such a simulation we're living in.
Yeah. I can't. Chuang Juren Rong. Yeah, I can't speak Chinese. I wish I could. I feel like I would be reading a lot more interesting material to the listeners if I could. Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, there you go. Trying to get. So the theory is that CIA people at this event distributed it and that it originated in Fort Detrick. I'll tell you what. We could cut all of that out and simply say, what if the military in general, someone's military somewhere spread it? That would be a pretty tasty conspiracy
and honestly,
theory anyway.
That's where my head is starting to go with this. I mean, once you start to realize that there's a very, very strong possibility that this was a bioweapon and that the end result may very well be Western countries having COVID passports.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that's something that benefits a lot of America's enemies. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden things just kind of start falling in place. Your brain can go a million different directions.
I've certainly been looking at China and Russia this entire time and saying like, what exactly has their hand been in this? Especially because I know Russia didn't lock down at all. I don't even think they ever had a mask mandate. China did lock down some provinces for a bit, but I mean, who knows? That could have been for show, you know? So
Wuhan, the 100%. Whole thing in Wuhan was a show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I
You remember them like locking people in their homes and stuff and welding their doors shut?
Yeah. Come on.
Not that the Clearly Chinese government wouldn't do that to people, but I think that
But they also would fake it.
Yeah, they would also fake it. And they were also found, they were also discovered too. I'd have to go dig up a source on this because this was like a year ago, but I remember finding that they were funding commercials in Italy who got it bad, you know, quote unquote early. Well, I don't think quote unquote, I think they actually did get it bad because it's a pretty unhealthy population with a bad healthcare system. But they were funding commercials promoting lockdown in Italy. The Chinese government was.
and here's another thing to think about. So you're making a really strong point that Russia and China didn't really have a major outbreak, at least nothing that reached world news levels, right? And I don't know anything about their public health policy, but it certainly would not be out of the realm of possibility that somehow, some way, they had this vaccine before coronavirus ever even hit.
I think, certainly
because
it's super.
I can't
been working
get my
on mRNA technology for like 2 decades. Mm-hmm. So it's
sure,
very
but this was a novel. It was a novel coronavirus. So
I see what you mean.
I still don't understand how I cannot wrap my mind around how they were able to produce a quote vaccine, otherwise known as a gene therapy drug. In 6 months, right?
Maybe.
It was probably less than 6 months. That's
probably.
Israel. By all
I remember the stories about Israel
evidence,
was
that's
working
impossible.
On it within 3 months. I remember that there was a story 3 months in, and Israel was saying we already were working on one. I don't know what
amounted to.
I don't know which vaccine that amounted to, but they started very early, very quick.
And it might be believable if one company came out and said, We struck gold. We hit lightning in a bottle. We figured this thing out. We got the thing. But to have a handful, half a dozen companies that are like, yeah, we got something that works. We got something that works. Are you buying that bullshit?
Right.
I think maybe some Moderna guy stole it. It existed. It existed well before October 2019.
So here's my counter argument. it doesn't work anyway. Not really. They've just yeah. turned down the testing, you know, the specificity or whatever it is of the testing, and Russia and China are more than happy to just let their people die rather than vaccinating prior to an attack. You know?
Well, of course it doesn't work, because if this whack job, you know, theory that I have is correct, it wouldn't do the intended thing anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, if it's a bioweapon, it wouldn't do the intended effect anyway.
Well, we already know that Joe Biden wouldn't be the first president to create a viral disease in a laboratory and then distribute it on the American population for the purposes of either culling it or forcing a new kind of behavior. That there are other presidents, one being such, name rhymes with Donald Dagan, who was very responsible for maybe not the AIDS virus. We'll see. Yes.
We'll see.
That took me way too long for some reason.
Still, we're still investigating.
I did it a different way this time.
Investigating. But now Joe Biden would be the first president with zero hands to his name.
That's right.
To execute some sort of plan as such.
That's right. I my final thought, taking it slightly back, is
okay.
I think the federal government, as we've come to the conclusion, or Carr, I know you seem to have, can be toothless. It seems like it can be very toothless, and that all it can do is say, hey, you should do this. Mm-hmm. I think it could also be possible that this whole thing, talking about orchestration and the planning behind it, to drop this news about a vaccine passport while other countries are actually doing it, because we know other countries are actually going to do shit like that. I expect nothing from other countries with no freedom. Oh, my God, they can have guns. People can't eat certain kinds of foods in certain countries. I'm not surprised. Right. Here's a little different. I think they set that announcement out so that more people would be convinced to book for the vaccination and just get it.
Yep.
Because they want to hit herd immunity, too, very quickly. So that, like Carr was saying, the Biden administration can claim in the first 100 days, we vaccinated over half the population. That's what they want, I think. Or you know what I mean? Maybe not the first 100 days, but that is certainly how it could play out. At least at how in the end it could look. That in the end, Biden's taking the credit for everybody getting vaccinated. Maybe no actual federal vaccine passport comes out. And we're just kind of looking around going, so that's why you did it. Because we'll look at the weekly chart of people who got vaccinated. And for the next 3 weeks, maybe it's skyrocketing because of the announcement. People are going, well, if they're making vaccine passports, I got to get my vaccination now. Like, I can see that. And maybe that's just being hopeful. But that's my last thought on it is I think whether that was planned or not, certainly the result is many more people booked for vaccinations after hearing that announcement. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah, I tend to agree more or less with what you're saying, Burr. Not to say that the federal government is incapable of instigating.
Oh, this can go back at any second.
It could go bad. But I think right now they are in a position of pleading with the American people, not threatening the American people. And a lot of people are misinterpreting that as a threat, and they're really just backed up against a wall.
Sure hope so. All right. Well, there you go. This, I will tell you again, I wanted us to talk about a white boy summer, and we ended up talking about the thing that could potentially ruin a white boy summer.
Ladies
and gentlemen, I'm going to need everybody to have the best white boy summer that they can.
Absolutely.
Despite all this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to kick it off right, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. Chilly.
Oh, yeah. There may be some rumblings that your boy actually might be going.
Whoa!
Out of here.
I've already secured a place of residence for the few days before it begins because I'm going to be on vacation already. Instead of having to go back home, I might be able to hang out where I am already. And then I've already potentially got a ride from Dallas, I think it is, to the site. Pretty sure
you got a ride, buddy. Let me tell you something. Yeah. If that falls through, I'll be there in Dallas to pick you up.
You guys are sweeties. So that I'm not saying 100%. I'm saying it's becoming clearer by the day that I can get this done. I was 30% sure I could go when I last made the talk about it. Now I'm about 80% sure I can go.
Okay. All right. So we'll do a quick like 60 to 90 seconds on Childerberg, but I have to do two things real quick. So number one, I wanted to call back to the economic thing. I want to say, like, because we kind of ended on an optimistic note.
Yeah.
I really do believe that Yeah, so I want to bring it back down. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was going to say, because we're going to have a sat stacking summer besides a white boy summer.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I think Bitcoin has actually come into prominence enough to where if the U.S. dollar does collapse, I legitimately think that it could result in a situation where it doesn't have catastrophic effects. I think Bitcoin could save the U.S. dollar from total collapse. So that might be the one thing that kind of unfurls all of this is like, yeah, you have this powder keg, but I think Bitcoin could potentially diffuse the whole situation.
I agree.
So I wanted to get that out there. I know Carr probably agrees, but really excited about what's going on with Bitcoin.
Yep.
The other thing is I would not normally plug Peaceful Treason, but please listen to our last episode. Don't listen to any other episodes. They're all trash. But the very last episode was actually kind of good, and it's relevant to a lot of things we talked about today. So had a lot of fun with that episode.
To every episode of Peaceful Treason, because I love all of them. Yeah. But listen to the one he's recommending first. do that first.
So anyway, I just wanted to, because we referenced how this thing is psychological, and we kind of got into some of that stuff in our last episode. It was pretty pretty interesting. Yeah. But one question on Childeberg: have you guys heard that like part of the problem and Lions of Liberty are talking about Childeberg almost every episode that they put out?
Yes, I just texted Jacob
and Robbie the Fire is going to be there.
Yep.
He's going to be on stage at our venue, which I don't know if that's been announced or not, but it's an amazing venue. It's so cool.
Yeah. Jared announced it. I think last episode, Jared announced Robbie was going to be there, but Jacob. He also said a few other names.
Jacob.
Sorry. Yeah, Jacob said that last time, and he said a few other names.
Yeah, he's had a couple of things in the works for a while.
Yeah, and man.
Hopefully one of them is confirmed that I know of. I don't know if I should say, but yeah, I know Jacob's been working on that like crazy. Robbie's going to be fun to have there, and we have an actual venue that's away from the campgrounds. Mm-hmm. But, man, Childeberg is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be sweet.
Ridiculous.
Dude, if Jacob can pull off what he's trying to pull off, and I have every confidence that he can because he's just a neurotic planner in the best sense of the word. Not only that, let me tell you this. This is Bird, when our podcast started to get a little bit big and we would see a conversation going on that we didn't initiate about the podcast, and that was like was like when we were like, oh wow, like
I love
are,
that
people are
still
actually
still
to
this
to
day.
I literally saw something on the timeline of people talking about whether they were gonna go to Childeberg, and I followed or was mutuals with like two people in a 20 person chain. I was like,
that's
damn,
awesome.
Like, that's like,
really
reached
great.
Critical
same.
Mass, you know, like it's starting to grow.
That same thing has happened with me too. In like Discord channels and Twitter channels. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, it's wild. This thing could become something pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the collapse of the US dollar or vaccine passports don't spur the mass adoption of Bitcoin, Childeberg will.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
because by Childeberg 4 or 5, we need to be campaigning for fully accepting Bitcoin in any on-site transactions.
Yep. And this is, like and this is financial advice.
Oh.
This is financial advice.
Yes,
this
is. It is. Yes, it is.
Hey. Can I put out a show request if you haven't talked about it already?
Yeah, sure.
And by the way, I haven't caught up with your last like two or three episodes, so I apologize. Okay. But did you guys follow what happened with the Bitcoin folks in New Hampshire?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's the free or not the free
Porkfest?
Free Talk Live crew. No, well, Porkfest is the festival that they have in New Hampshire that's kind of born out of the what is it? If you've ever listened to the show Free Talk Live, their host Ian. So Ian was arrested, and I understand that he's still in custody, and it's all on Bitcoin charges, Bitcoin-related charges. So you have to talk about that since you referenced that Childeberg is going to be the Bitcoin thing, because it is it's a massive story in the Liberty movement. So talk about that on your next show.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll check it out.
We will do that. Write that down. Yeah, write that down. We'll do that. That's good. That's a good one.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So we got anything else before we take it into White Boy Summer? Are we officially kicking off White Boy Summer today?
Well,
it's
Chet already
official.
Did.
Chet already did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
Chet
you should drop
did.
a Chet track to take us out in post.
Shit.
Hell yeah. That's a great idea. I'm dropping a Chet track.
Yeah.
So as we go out to Chet, how many hands are on the wheel? And does anyone else have plugs? Anyone? I'm going to be on Pete's show for my last of the series where we're talking about Hans Hermann Hoppe and how he's actually a Marxist. Anybody else doing anything? Okay, cool. Chet Hayes, baby.
Chet Hayes, two hands on the wheel.
Hey guys, sorry to bother you, but I think I kind of fucked up. I was on the beach smoking some crack, and there was really windy out, and this fucking came up to me and started yelling at me about something. So I opened my umbrella, and the wind took it, and it fucking impaled it. Fucking and I can't describe the carnage, but. But the Mexican police just took me away. I got my phone call, and I'm hoping you guys can help me out. You know, dip into the Patreon fund if you have to. I really need to make bail. I'm not going to survive in here.